Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
I'm John Batchelor with Peter Frankopan. He's a professor of global history, and his new book is exactly that. Global history over several tens of thousands of years. But right now, we're after 2200 BC. The rise of cities that leave records, law records, codes records. Relationships, then, are suggestive. Professor, this is trade. This is globalization. Do I overread it?
No, I think some of my colleagues will get very overexcited about the word globalization because it clearly means something in the modern world that is different to the past. In the past, connecting the Americas to each other and also to the other great continents of the world is obviously a different story. But one can talk about long-range connections linking Europe, Africa, and Asia going back thousands of years. And I think that if one is willing to be relatively generous with the idea about what globalization means in terms of exchange, we can chart that through the exchange of goods. We can exchange that through the exchange of ideas, which are a little bit more tricky to always pin how they're moving and how they're being spread. But we can also test through linguistics and genetics. And those kinds of things tell us a wholly different picture of what is going on around about 4,000 years ago. Those rise of those cities in competition with each other, often in conjunction with each other. But one of the things that's most interesting is that the glue between these cities and the key driver for these cities is their connection often to nomadic peoples who are the conveyors and the vectors of long distance goods, ideas, technologies, and so on. So ideas about bronze, different kinds of cereals, different kinds of rices are being transported not by city dwellers, but by nomadic or mobile peoples. And of course, mobile peoples don't just travel distances. They have access to protein sources through their livestock, dairy, of course, textiles from the wool and the leather from sheep and horses, etc. And so this world that rises together, one can talk about, I think, in a globalized system. Obviously, the distances are huge, and the connections are never from one side of the earth to the other. There are a series of dots that are all buzzing together all the time, and sometimes more intensively than others.
Volcanoes often playing a major role in climate adaptation. And let's go to a big one we've all visited if we've been to the Mediterranean, Tyra, Santorini now. The volcano that's blamed for the loss of Crete, or what happens to Crete, does that have a worldwide effect on crops, the explosion?
Yeah, all these big volcanic eruptions inject large amounts of particles into the atmosphere. And a lot depends on the latitude of the volcano. A lot depends on the timing of the eruption. And a lot depends on the explosivity. In fact, in the case of Thera, although the drama of the destruction of Crete, which is a kind of major focal point of inter-Mediterranean trade, and in fact trade across the Middle East and North Africa too, one of the things that it does that's probably has a longer run impact is that it triggers a change in the variola virus, which is the virus that sits behind smallpox. And smallpox, probably over the course of the last 3,500 years, I mean, it killed something like 300 million people. So that, to me, is more measurable and more dramatic than a single point of failure because of the eruptions. But when these volcanoes do go big, they do the kinds of things that we understand because of the last 12, 15 months, which is that there's sudden inflationary pressures. Their governments find it hard to collect revenues. They borrow more. They become more fragile. They tend to become much more disruptive because of political opportunists. And a good example of that comes with another volcanic eruption a little bit after Thera, in Okmok in Alaska. That erupts in 43 BC. And those of you who remember your classical educations will remember that Julius Caesar is murdered in 44 BC. And to hunt down the assassins, because vengeance is required under in Rome, because a state, if someone important gets taken out, it's not okay to allow the assassins to roam around. That the hunt goes to bring Brutus and Cassius and the others to justice. Okmok erupts about 12 months later and has a dramatic impact on global crops, as far as we can tell. But in particular, it affects the Nile flood. And why that becomes important is that the Nile flood has these rich waters that come out every year that produce crops across the Nile Valley that made Egypt the breadbasket of the ancient world. And that produced, exactly like I mentioned, inflation, crop shortages, disease, famine, inequalities widen when there are shocks and pressures. So the poor are always the ones who suffer most with any kind of shock event, whether it's war or climatic. That creates real turbulence in Egypt. And that turbulence is directed above all at Queen Cleopatra, who is the descendant of a Greek general. Her family are all Greek speakers. She's multilingual, but they are seen when it suits the Egyptian elites as outsiders. And those Egyptian outsiders decide this is a moment to rock the boat and push Cleopatra out of power. So she does the very sensible thing, which is she makes an alliance with the most powerful and most popular of the Romans at the time.
Mark 30 Antony. Seconds, Professor. Go ahead.
Yeah. With Mark Antony. And it turns out that they're up against a devious little conniver called Octavian, who is the great hero, in fact, of people like Mark Zuckerberg. He becomes renamed Augustus because Octavian manages to snooker or take out Mark Antony and Cleopatra and take Egypt as the great prize that turns Rome from a republic into an empire, literally. And that's not because of a volcano, but the volcanic eruptions, the agricultural pressures, the ecological pressure it produced had massive political consequences.
The book is The Earth Transform. Peter Frankopan is the author. We're headed to the Roman Warm Period. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.